A very warm welcome to all of you to our joint service of worship this morning or this evening, whenever you happen to be joining us for the service. This is the service of worship shared between ourselves at Kintore and people at Kemne, folks at Echt and Midmar, Cluny and Monymusk, and Bledaf, Chapel of Geary. So that gives away that I'm from Kintore. My name's Neil, and I'm going to hand over to Joshua from Kemne to tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods, Joshua.
Thank you, Neil. Good morning, everybody, or good evening, depending what time, as you say, you're watching this. A couple things to share about worship happening in Kemne. A reminder that our church building is now reopen every week for live service at 10 a.m. And we have decided to no longer require pre-booking to attend worship. So if you feel led in the moment to come to church, you are very welcome. Making your interest known beforehand via the booking system, as I said, not required. It's appreciated so that we can lay out the seats accordingly. But if you do feel led at the last moment to come, please know you'll be warmly welcomed all the same. Also, starting on the 4th of August, on Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Kemne Church Center, we'll be running a bereavement group that has a special focus on for those who have suffered bereavement during the time of the pandemic. But of course, if you've had a bereavement before the pandemic and you're in need of support, you are also very warmly welcome to come along for support. So that's 10 until 12 o'clock Thursday morning, the 4th of August at Kemne Church Center. And lastly, regarding the joint service, later in the service today, we'll be celebrating the sacrament of communion together in this worship. So if you haven't done so already, you can pause the service if needs be and grab a bit of bread and juice or wine if you wish to partake in our service of communion during the worship service today. And that's all from Kemne. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you so much, Joshua. Sheila Mitchell is at Echt and Midmar. And Sheila, what is happening in that part of our area grouping?
Well, first of all, good morning to everybody in Echt and Midmar in the church this morning, Sunday morning, because on a Sunday morning, we watch the blether before our service of worship begins, and people are now familiar with all our faces on the team. I'm saying good morning partly because I have the pleasure this morning of leading worship at Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary, and this morning I'm going to be in Blair Daff Church leading worship, while at Echt and Midmar we'll be welcoming back Fiona Lister. And of course, Fiona's no stranger to us in our parish grouping. And of course, we're wishing her well as she goes. I think this will be one of her last Sundays before she begins her probationary period. So it's great that the congregation have a chance to say hello to Fiona again. And I'm going to thoroughly enjoy my time meeting some new faces over at our neighbours in Blair Daff Chapel of Geary. We're still operating a booking system, if you like, for worship at Echt and Midmar just for the next couple of weeks while we transition to the new seating arrangements. But thanks to the space in the balcony, we certainly have space if anybody would just like to come to church and join us in worship in the meantime. So that's us at Echt and Midmar.
Super. Thank you, Sheila. Stella Gold is at Bledaf, Chapel of Geary, and we've just heard what's happening there. But what else is happening for you guys, Stella?
Well, we look forward to welcoming Sheila very much to our service on Sunday morning. And we're in the Blair Daff building, not Chapel of Geary. And the following week, we'll be in Chapel of Geary, not Blair Daff, for our quieter service. We're looking forward to meeting a bride as we've got a wedding coming up in the very near future. So it's exciting times that we'll be able to greet a few more guests with a de-restriction of numbers. So we'll be popping over to measure up for how many people we can actually allow the bride to get in. And just the weather this week has been exceptionally good and exceptionally bad, depending on what side your fence is. And I'm just hoping for our membership round about our rural parishes that the heavy rain hasn't battered the nearly ready to harvest crops into the ground, because that's just the worst calamity for the farmers when your grain is ready to be gathered in and it's lying flat instead of standing proud. But apart from that, we're just ongoing and looking forward to welcoming people without booking and moving on with that.
Thank you, Stella. Ewan Glenn at Clean and Money Musk is away on leave this week, so that's why he's not with us. And on that note, I'll be away for this Sunday and next Sunday. So I'll be back on the 15th. And I guess the news for all of us is that the seating has increased in all of our churches due to the change from the 2 meter to the 1 meter distancing rule, which does ease things considerably. So for folk who are comfortable and confident to come back to worship, it's in the church building. It's great to have you there. But of course, it's lovely that we still have the option to do this online. So whether you're joining us in the buildings or whether you're joining us online, thank you for being with us, and shall we go to worship?
We come from different places and different spaces. We meet together across time and distance. We come with doubts, with worries, and with concerns. We come with joy, with thanksgiving, and with praise. We come as we are, though, a people united in our journey of faith, worshipping together as a family united in Christ. Wherever we are in this moment, together, let us worship God. Let us pray. God, you have brought us together this day, people of faith in this place and in this time, people living spirit-filled lives and celebrating life as part of God's rich and varied creation. In these moments of prayer and reflection, we come to recognize where we are along the way and even what we would wish to change in our own journeys of discipleship. So forgive us if, occasionally, we're blind to the things in life that matter the most. If familiarity or busyness or distraction mean that sometimes we miss what's important, or even if simple pleasures go unnoticed or undervalued. Forgive us if some days the weight of work or responsibility robs us of an appreciation of the beauty of where we live. If the colours and textures and the landscape around us has become a backdrop so familiar that we fail to see the wonder in the part of God's creation that's before us. Similarly, forgive us if ever we drift towards taking one another for granted, so wrapped up in the things of our own lives that we're blind to the richness of what other people offer and to the gifts that other people add to our lives. Forgive us if our priorities are sometimes misplaced, if we fail to appreciate the minutes we won't get back, and we find ourselves living more readily in the past and in the future than in the gift of the present. Loving Creator God, you have bestowed on each and every one of us gifts and wonders and even miracles more numerous than ever we could imagine. In you, O God, we live and move and have our being. So may our movements be guided consciously by the Spirit. May we find fulfillment in our living and in who we are and in what we do. May we be a blessing to others. For this we ask in the name of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today's reading from Holy Scripture comes to us from the Gospel according to John, reading from chapter 6, verses 22 to 35. Hear now the word of God. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is God's word to us today. To the Lord be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. During this service, in a short while, we'll be taking communion together. We'll sit with our little piece of bread and our wee drink of wine in front of us. And we'll listen again to those familiar words. "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat." And as we sit, we will contemplate again the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and the glory of the resurrection. We will once again be part of that divine mystery, that eternal circle of grace passed on to us from the generations that have gone before, that we can share with one another now and have the privilege of handing on to those who will come after. To take part in the sacrament of communion is to bind us together. No matter our differences of the everyday, when we share with our brothers and sisters in this sacred meal, we are experiencing a bond unlike any other. We're bound to God and through him to one another, in eternal and unbreakable fellowship. To signify this bond, we use the ordinary and everyday items, and they are transformed into something so much more than their elements and their simple parts. We use bread, the simplest of foods, made even more basic when it is unleavened and not even yeast is added. It's simple. It's unadorned. Nothing fancy, And yet in this context, it signifies eternity. What a privilege to be able to share in this. When we share meals together, we form connections and we form bonds. As our girls have begun to grow up, Andy and I have started to enjoy the addition of their friends to our family meals. And we've been struck about how often there's been a comment about how much they have enjoyed sitting as a family, meeting together, sharing stories and sharing jokes together, talking about our day, even falling out with each other. But we do it over a meal. For some, this is a new experience, but one which our girls are pleased to introduce them to. And they have started to appreciate with new eyes the privilege of family togetherness and conversation. It's something I have been passionate about for a long time, is the ministry of togetherness over a meal. This bond can be forged in so many ways, whether it is gathering together in the kitchen to prepare the food together beforehand, sitting together to eat that meal, or clearing away the dishes afterwards. These are the bonding experiences of life. And I hope that as restrictions ease and life returns to something closer to normality, that this area group can find ways to break bread together, to share in a meal. Jesus knew this. And just a few verses before this morning's reading, we have John's description of the feeding of the 5,000. The people had gathered to hear Jesus, and he fed their souls and their minds with his words and his miracles. So to feed their bodies also was only natural. And there's a biblical history of food being provided in times of need, be it manna in the desert as described in Exodus, or Elijah being given sustenance after a life-changing experience. God proves himself to be the great provider. Time and again, the significance of Jesus' actions is misunderstood. The 5,000 were fed, but they continued to search for Jesus. Their bodily needs were fulfilled, but their souls did not understand the significance. And so they searched for him again. Maybe they were looking for an oddity, looking for a performer who could make food appear out of thin air. They were craving food to fill their stomachs instead of living water to quench their spirits. They sought the theatrical event without seeking the source of the miracle. We have the benefit of hindsight, and we look at this passage and we ask, how could they be so dim? How could they veer so far from the point? But we do it too. We fill ourselves and our lives with so many things and don't leave time and space for the nourishment of our spirits. Many of the things that we enjoy are not wrong in themselves. Food, drink, friendship, all good things. Until they become the most important thing and more important than anything else. Music, television, reading, dancing, playing, watching sports, shopping. None are intrinsically bad. But Jesus tells us in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but look for the food that endures to eternal life. He even tells us where to get it. Jesus, the Son of Man, will give it to us if we but ask. Just now, the Olympics are dominating our television sets, and it can be exciting to watch these people at the peak of their physical fitness achieve superhuman feats. But we can also see them slip or stumble, The years of training and dedication can be turned to dust by lack of judgment or being overwhelmed by the situation or just plain unlucky. If all that they have is their sporting achievements, then failure can be devastating. And when they succeed and reach the gold medal, what next? Being an Olympian is an incredible achievement, no matter the discipline. But as with every other aspect of life, if there's nothing else, then it is food that will eventually spoil. Reaching for an eternal life with God will satisfy in a way which transient glory cannot. So the cry goes up. What must I do? What sign will you give us for this? How do we get eternal fulfillment? Poor Jesus. It must have been so frustrating. He's literally just fed them with bread and fish. He performed a miracle in front of their eyes and made sure that their bellies were full. How much more of a sign did they require? He interpreted scripture for them. He gave them signposts. He did everything but skywrite it. And still they didn't get it. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." A few verses further down, you find more of the refrain of, "Well, who does he think he is?" So do we believe it? Do we know that Christ is the bread of life, the one who will fill us with eternal nourishment? Do we turn to him when we feel hungry and empty in our souls? Or do we reach for something else? Jesus did not simply bring the word to the people as a prophet. He is the incarnation of the word. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who fulfills and sustains us. So when we gather together to take communion, whether it is today separated by space and time and yet gathered together in spirit, or at a time in the future when we are breaking bread together in a holy space, may we know that it is more than just a commemoration of a past event. These aren't just symbols. This is what binds us together in Christ. When Jesus sat at the Last Supper and lifted the bread for his disciples and said, "This is my body," he was referring back to this passage where he described himself as the bread of life. When he lifts the goblet of wine and says, "This is my blood," he's reaching back to his interaction with the Samaritan woman at the well, where he offers her the life-giving water. It wasn't an accident that Jesus reached for the bread, not the lamb or the cheese. There was a purpose. There was meaning. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus will sustain us throughout our lives. And just as bread has to be broken before it can be eaten, and wine must be poured before it can be drunk, so his body was broken and his blood poured out so that we might understand our need for spiritual nourishment. My prayer today is that we may all feel enfolded in this circle of grace, that we may all know God's eternal love, and that we may be refreshed, fulfilled, and nourished to the very depths of our soul through the bonds forged as we take part in this communal meal. Amen.
Today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And all are very welcome to take part in communion together today. There is room at this meal for all who desire to love and follow and obey Jesus Christ as Lord. And as we share in this sacrament together, online, there are still ways we can affirm our togetherness as people of faith. One such way is for us to hold our bread and take it all together when invited to do so. We could do the same with the cup as well. Another way to affirm our unity in Jesus is to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer together later in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. So first, let us hear the call to the Lord's table. Come to this table, not because we must, but because we may. Come not because we are strong, but because we are weak. Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right to do so, but because we need the Lord's mercy and help. Come to this table because we love the Lord a little and would very much like to love him more. Come to this table because Jesus loves us and gave himself for us. Come to this table and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. And as a sign of our faith in Jesus Christ, and as a means of preparation for partaking in this meal together, let us now join our voices together as a family of faith by praying the words Jesus taught to us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Hear now the words of institution of the Lord's Supper, faithfully recorded for us by Paul the Apostle, who said, For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper and said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And in response to Christ's saving actions, we do declare together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Friends, brothers and sisters, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. And if you are in worship with us today and you're choosing not to partake, may you receive and know God's full blessing in this time. So first, as a unified body, we partake of the bread together. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for us. We eat this in remembrance of Jesus. In the same spirit of unity, we now also partake of the cup together. This cup is the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood has been shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it all. And having partaken of this bread and this cup together, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you know each of us well. You love us deeply and are able to sustain us in an enormous variety of ways. We are humbled by our awareness of your profound concern and involvement in our petty concerns and worries, and your keen interest in our welfare. We know your mercy for the penitent, O loving God. Let us experience it once again as we place the record of our past week before you. Generous provider of every good gift, prod us awake to the opportunities and invitations, love and companionship you lay before us. Give to those who lead the loyalty and support they deserve, and to those who follow, willing spirits and a sense of purpose of their part in your plan for this world. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all those who have given their lives and talents in the service of others, those whose faithful witness has challenged the prejudices and closed minds of others, and enabled people to appreciate the power of your love in their lives. Sustain those with special talents of laughter, healing, teaching, leadership, parenting, production of food, and necessities of life. Encourage them to see you as the source of all their gifts. Accept, we pray, your children with their particular hopes and promise. Inspire them to continue in their faithful way to work for the growth of love and cooperation, mutual dependence and trust. Great and loving God, we know we are tenants of this good earth, entrusted through your grace and love with its abundance and harvest. Strengthen our resolve to be worthy of your covenant with us, and make us more willing to hear, to obey, and to act in protection of the fruit of your kingdom of love. All this we ask in Jesus' name as we share the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let's sing our second hymn of today, I Want to Serve the Purpose of God.
I'm
May we receive God's blessing today. May we know deep in our souls the blessing of the Son. And may we be anointed with the blessing of the Spirit. As we enter into the week to come, may we be surrounded in the grace and love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today and always. Amen.